Fantastic.
It's Rise FM Evenings with your radio madam, Fezile Manzini. And this evening, in celebration of Heritage Month, as well as International Literacy Day, which was celebrated on the 8th, I'm celebrating someone who means a lot to me, mainly because she inspired me to follow a career in the arts. And I grew a love for poetry and reading and writing because of her, and even pursued what I studied, which is communication science, because of her. And I'm speaking to none other than Dr. Qina Mhlophe. And if you're wondering, because there are levels to this thing, she is a writer, a storyteller, and an actress, to name but a few. So when I speak of the arts and being inspired, I was properly inspired by Dr. Qina Mhlophe. Good evening, Dr. Qina Mhlophe.
A very good evening to you. How are you doing?
I'm honored. I'm having a great day. I've waited for this day since my days of watching, what was it? Was it your TV? I've been waiting to have this conversation. I literally have goosebumps right now. This is really happening.
It is an honor to be with you today. I'm so grateful indeed. It's a special evening.
Yes. Thank you for also availing yourself. I know that you just got back in the country. I can imagine you're probably exhausted.
It's been a long journey. Who would have thought to go to Mundundiza MON for so long? But we had to go and fly the South African flag in the city of Nanjing in China to talk about our UNESCO City of Literature, and also to do the keynote address for the International Day of Literacy, the 8th of September.
Now, before we get into your work, I'd like to get to know Dr. Qina Mhlophe. Where were you born and raised?
Okay, I was born and raised in Hammersdale. And I've also been inspired to listen and love stories and love languages from a very, very young age. And then from then onwards, then I found myself wanting to read all the time. I mean, at school, this was the passion I had, wanting to know more. My hunger for knowledge was sharpened at a very, very early stage. And then I went to live in the Eastern Cape as well, and then I started loving even more the possibility of learning other languages. When I went to Johannesburg at the age of 20, I found myself meeting abantu abakhuluma isiSuthu, and I thought, what? There are so many languages, Sesotho, Setswana, Sepedi, Tshivenda. And in the office where I was working, Element Teach Magazine, people would come and talk to me because I was the only black person in the office, and I didn't know how to speak Sesotho. So I had to learn to speak Sesotho as well. So the love of languages was just encouraged by circumstances, and I appreciate that. And now as a storyteller, storytellers are language lovers. It was like being prepared way before I knew what line of work I would be doing. At the beginning, I thought, it was always about being an Islamini. But at some point, there was no Miss Lamini anymore. I wanted to become a writer.
Now, growing up, what could you say helped shape you into who you became professionally? I know you say that the love started at a very young age, but what was it exactly that inspired you to choose a career in arts? Because I know it's difficult for us, for our parents, to accept that this is a calling. It must have been a lot more harder in your times to convince your parents that this is a career.
It was my mother more who was very worried about me. What on earth do I want to do? It was like a sign of laziness. So on my father's side, my father was curious to know what you happy for as long as I continue respecting my family name. And also, Mina, the writers I read inspired me to want to be one of the writers. I loved to read. I read and read and read. But at some point, I wanted to be a content creator, as they say nowadays. And the thing is, ababhali abasebebhalile engibathandayo, all of them had lived, they've written their books and they died. And so I thought, you want to be a writer, you're not going to have a long life. Né? Because writers, they write books and then they die. So for me, it felt like a natural progression. And somehow, it was not possible for me to stop writing. You know, no matter how scary it was to think that you won't have a long life, Kodwa, I knew I have to do this thing. It's as essential as the oxygen I breathe. So, okay, no matter how much lack of encouragement I had at the beginning, but it's the kind of thing you can't stop. It's the kind of thing you can't stop. And I'm grateful that I didn't stop. I'm grateful that also I met people. Abakwazi ukuthi bangikhuthaze ukuthi lento onayo is pure sisebenziso. So I'm grateful for that.
You know, having said that, and also because I shared the fact that I grew up watching your storytelling on television, and I'm 32 years old now. I want to know, what was or is the highlight of your career?
Well, there are quite a few highlights for me. I don't have one highlight.
But one that stands out, maybe.
Being a multidisciplinary artist that I am, one of the highlights, I would say, being in Johannesburg, and doing when the editor of Lemon Teach called me and sent somebody to find me in Alexander Township where I was living. And he said he wanted to meet me. And when I got to the offices, and he said to me, I had published Nokulunga's Wedding at the time. And he said to me, you are the one who wrote Nokulunga's Wedding. I love your voice. He was not talking about the voice that you are hearing, my speaking voice. He said he loved my voice, the way that I write. And he offered me a job on the spot.
Wow.
Like it was a Thursday. On Friday morning, 8 o'clock, I was at the office as an employed person.
Wow.
And so things like those. Or when I acted in Umongikazi kaMaishe Maponya, who had seen me doing praise poetry at different events and at political rallies, the artistic director of the Market Theatre, he sent people to find me, and he sat down with me. He said, I like your style. I appreciate your talent. Can you work with me? I did not audition. I was just offered the job. So this thing kept recurring at different places. I was doing Born in RSA in 1986, it was going really, really well, getting beautiful reviews and what. And it was based on a true life story, by the way, the role that I played. And then Anand Singh, the great producer of films and whatever, came to the Market Theatre and took me out for lunch, and he offered me a role in the movie Place of Weeping. So these are amazing occurrences, almost like there's a light shining in front of me. Like you step on this block, and then the next light starts blinking. And then you step on that block, and the next light keeps blinking. And so this has been recurring over and over in my life. When I took Born in RSA to the Market Theatre and our artistic director, we all traveled, the cast of six, to New York after Edinburgh Festival, after London and Switzerland. We went to New York, performed at the Lincoln Center, and then we performed until we reached Boston. When we arrived in Boston, the head of humanities at Brandeis University came to see the show twice, and he wanted to meet me. And I was sent to his offices with Uba and Simon. When we sat there, he said he would like to offer me a six-month contract as an assistant director with Barney Simon to create a brand new production with their drama students.
Wow.
I mean, Umanguba and me, be director at such a prestigious university, in Brandeis, of all places. I could not believe it. And so, again and again, these lights kept popping up in front of me. It's blinking, and I step on that one. This has happened over and over. So I promise you, when I write my autobiography,
your life is a highlight on its own.
Because the Almighty God has been amazing to me. And I keep saying again and again, I say, Sibonga ophezulu, sibonge abaphansi. Sibonga ophezulu, sibonge abaphansi. If I don't share and show gratitude, something is very, very wrong with me. Yeah, asisho kanjalo. Something is very, very wrong with me. I cannot afford not to be grateful.
Now, what is the one value or principle that you would never compromise professionally? Because you seem like someone who is very principled. And I believe that is the reason why a lot of people find it easy to just approach you and not wait for you to come to them. It has to do with the principles and values that they see in you.
I will say self-respect and being honest in what I'm doing. If I feel like I cannot do something, I definitely won't do it. You understand? I've been offered roles where go to, hey, this role is for you, man. Sifunu kuthi go television and film. Ube isangoma. I don't play games. I don't play games. No. This role I will not play. I don't play games with the ancestors. So those are things that I'm clear about. That I cannot do. And some of the things, like when I've been approached to do an advert, oh, we like your voice, and this is, it's got heritage and what, and it has to do with advertising alcohol. Like, honestly, when last did I ever go to bed without food in my stomach? Why would I advertise alcohol? Why? Because I encourage so many young people not to throw their lives to the dogs by drinking. Nami, I made up my mind at the age of 20 that whatever I do in my life, of course I'll make mistakes. I get kumuntu perfect. Stay away from me. So those things that are just certain things that I don't have to do. And nothing forces me to do those things. And the hard times will hit me. And I will never stop praying. I'll always be praying in hard times and in good times. But I work hard. And when I need help, I do ask for help. When there's a possibility of helping another person, I also do. Because unkulunkulu, the Almighty God blesses me so that I can bless other people as well.
Amen.
And when I cannot help somebody who asks for help from me, I tell you straight, good, this time I cannot help you. Doesn't mean good, I'm funny or I'm a cruel person or that. But if you tell somebody straight away that you can't help them, instead of pretending that you will, and then you end up disappointing them even further, then it's a cruel thing to do. It's a very, very cruel thing to do.
Now, before I let you go, what message do you have for young people who are in the arts, having been the one who has paved the way for the rest of us?
You know, the art of storytelling is really looked down upon. Let me focus on that. The art of storytelling, when they count in the hierarchy of the creative arts department of sports, art and culture, whatever, they always think about music as the royalty of the creative arts. Then you say about dancers. Then you look at filmmaking and television acting. And then you look at sport is number one. Number one on the sport. They get the majority of the budget, the lion's share. And then it comes down. Finally, it comes down to storytelling. We are at the bottom of the hierarchy. And the fascinating thing is that, I understand, without story, you can't make a movie. Without story, you can't compose a song that will become a classic. I don't know what song you like. You say, this is my favorite song. Whether it's a love song, whether it's a song that inspires you. It doesn't matter what song you like. Whether you turn to Roberta Fleck, whether you turn to Ubu Sing Song, or whether you turn to Sipoku Met. It doesn't matter who you like. When you think of all of those people, what is it that makes it classic? It is a story. When you think of some of the television series that have lasted for a long, 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 long time, the mother is story. When you think of fashion, when you think of traditional dress, there is a story behind why a group of people, no matter close, no matter no matter Amazulu, there is a story behind it. If you look at architecture, if you look at how people design their homes and buildings and what, there is a story behind it. So when all is said and done, story is the mother of all art forms. So I say everybody needs to have their story straight, wazi who you are, where you are going, and know that you respect yourself, respect other people as well. Ngizosho kanjalo.
No, thank you very much, Dr. Gcina Mhlophe. And I would like to thank you personally, because I wouldn't be here interviewing you if that seed was not planted by you. So thank you for the role that you've also played in my life personally, opening the door to a career in arts for me as well. And do enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you so much. I hope that you will join us for the Nozinwa, the annual storytelling festival. We've got storytellers from different parts of the world coming to Durban. In October. I'll send you a press release and all the dates.
Oh, definitely. I'd love that.
The festival is coming. Kuzoba mnandi.
No, thank you very much. And definitely, I need to see the beach foods.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.